The placement of the Feast of the Holy Family is very interesting. I mean, Christmas is that time, as Hallmark cards would have us believe, when all the bruises and breakages and resentments and disappointments that constitute family life, in large part, are suddenly smothered by a tidal wave of goodwill and bonhomie, and that doesn't happen. And that's why Christmas, for many people, not everybody, but for many people, is a time of great discomfort. It is not comfort and joy, but a kind of teeth-gritting, white-knuckled tolerance until everybody goes home. So what do we do with the Feast of the Holy Family? Well, the readings, unhappily, are not much help. I mean, we were spared hearing this last part of the passage from the Colossians about wives being subject to their husbands. Paul didn't write this, by the way, let me hasten to add. Colossians is not Pauline. And then we get all these platitudes from the book of Sirach, representative of a highly patriarchal and tribal world. So what do? Where are we? Okay. To take a cue from one of the early theologians, so-called fathers of the church, he referred to the family as the ecclesiola. The family is a little church, a little kind of baby church, a church in miniature. Well, let's see if that gets us any place. Well, the church is a pretty dysfunctional operation. And so that's helpful. So you don't expect more from the church, more from the family than you do from the church. But it's precisely to try to locate its dysfunctionality that we may get someplace. And there are all kinds of dysfunctional aspects of both the church life and family life. There's a famous book published by the great cultural critic Christopher Lash a few years ago, discussing the family, and with an extraordinarily intriguing title. The family is, to quote Lash, a haven in a heartless world. Good, eh? What does that mean? Well, you get in the family, and basically the family serves as a mutual self-protection pact. We gather together and erect barricades to withstand the onslaught of a basically hospitable world. And that very well describes the church I grew up in. And it seems to me we're in danger of restoring that kind of paranoid institutional life in the church as well. So the family is a little church. Well, let's go back behind all this stuff and to the source. And there's an intriguing passage that apparently the gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, thought so important that all three of them used them. Now, there's not a whole lot of stuff that it appears in all three of the so-called synoptic gospels. But this does. There's a scene which you may remember, that Jesus is sitting around talking to some people in their house, and somebody comes up and says, "Hey, your mom and your brothers are looking for you." And he said, "Oh, wait. Oh, mom, I haven't seen her for weeks." No, he just said, no. You get this extraordinary response. Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sisters? Anyone who listens to the word of God and acts on it, that's my father and my mother and my brother and my sister. Extraordinary response. Now we say, well, Jesus was God, so he just said, well, it doesn't make any difference. All that earthly rubbish, I mean, I transcended that. No, that's an escape. That doesn't make any sense. That's not true, frankly. It's simply not true. What enabled then Jesus to make that kind of statement? And is it a total dismissal of his family? No. But it locates what a family is supposed to do. Instead of being a haven in a heartless world, instead of simply enabling somebody to withstand the rest of the world, whatever happened to Jesus as a kid and growing up was a process of liberation. That somehow he didn't have to come back to the family for nurture, but rather what had happened to him was that he was somehow, I don't know how it happened, freed up. That he didn't have to see these little enclaves of self-protection, but rather was open to anybody who was responsive to the goodness of God. In other words, he was not blinded, as we are, I think, by the family, which disables us from seeing goodness or truth or beauty, wherever it appears. But too often and to a large extent, the family provides a set of filters which excludes rather than includes. No? Again, let's go back. I mean, clearly the church at Colossae or whoever this disciple of Paul says, women be subject to their husbands. That man was, or probably, I'm sure it was a man. This doesn't sound like it was written by any woman, not even in the first century Palestine. Was terribly short-sighted. Terribly unaware. And the person who wrote all this stuff in Sirach about 200 years before Jesus was still bounded and hobbled by a too narrow view of what human relationships and how they play out and what we're supposed to do with each other in a family. But that's why that text from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you can find it in all three of those Gospels, is so astonishing. He was not putting his mother down, he's simply stating the fact. Because presumably his mother heard the word of God and acted on it. Freedom is what we're talking about. To take up a suggestion I made on Christmas Day, freedom is what the family is supposed to be all about, and never is in any kind of perfect way. To liberate us from our own neediness. So let's face it, as a family, so you got a mother and a father and a kid. What's a kid? A baby kid, particularly. A ball of needs, that's all. Beginning, middle, and end. Now, how to transmute that ball of needs so that their life is not determined by their needs, but rather they're liberated from the power of those needs in order to be available to everybody else. This is what the family is supposed to do. This is what the church is supposed to do and doesn't. So in a certain sense, there is a similarity between the church and the family in that in heaven, whatever that is, however that plays out, there is no church. You know, I was raised as a little Catholic grade school kid saying, being told that, well, everybody in heaven going around with a little RC written on their forehead, right? And anybody else, you can say, well, poor dumb buggers, they just missed out. No, there ain't going to be no church then. Because the church as institution, just like the family as institution, has finished its nurturing process there. And so they were all free for each other. From our needs. And so the real Holy Family is all of us. Is all of us. Transmuted by God. Liberated by God. For each other.